The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So earlier I spoke about how I mentioned kind of a Buddhist slogan that says that don't add fuel to the fire. Let the fire die out. And the fire that we're talking about here is the fires of, in Buddhism, the kind of the core kind of roots of, is lust and hatred and delusion. So don't add fuel to lust and hatred and delusion. And the word for fuel is the same word for clinging. It's clinging, craving, closing down, which is the fuel for that keeps these things burning. So hatred, it keeps burning if we keep being somehow clinging and tightening and grasping and resisting. And it can seem like the, you know, that of course we should cling, of course we should grasp. That's how life is lived. That's how you take care of yourself. But what we learn is that actually you can take care of yourself better without clinging and grasping. And for one thing, the way we harm ourselves often is by getting caught up in craving and caught up in hatred and delusion. So if we can help ourselves not to keep adding the fuel to it, so that it keeps burning, but rather take the fuel away so that it can dissipate, cool down, then we're actually wiser. We actually can engage in a better way in the world. And it's in this regard that the word for liberation, one of the descriptors of liberation in Buddhism, is to cool down. So and to be really cool, which because what we're cooling down is the fires of greed, hate, and delusion. So what are the things that are the fuel for the fires, and what are the things that are the, what's the clingings that are the fuel? And so one of the ways that Buddhism likes to talk about this, they talk about five areas of clinging or grasping, five that become the fuel for the fires. And the first one is our body. And many people cling to their body. They cling to how they look. They cling to their health. They have a negative clinging. They resist or have a push away or contract around what they don't like happening in their body. So if there's pain, for example, there can be, it's unfortunate to have pain, but there can be very strong reactions that are, those very reactions are fuel for further suffering. I learned that early in my meditation life when I had a tremendous amount of knee pain when I meditated. And I noticed that if I hated my knee pain, the muscles around the pain would contract, and then it would hurt more. And if I could stop hating my pain, those little muscles would loosen a little bit, and the pain was better. And so if I was going to continue meditating, I had to watch my mind so carefully that I wasn't somehow clinging, grasping, resisting, tightening up around the pain, and then I could manage. And then eventually the pain went away. Sometimes. I still have knee pain. But I don't mind anymore now. There's very little grasping or clinging around it. So there's all these ways that we kind of cling to our body, or clinging arises out of the body. And the consequence of clinging to the body is that we're adding fuel to create more clinging. So there's a wonderful kind of loop. There's the clinging. Clinging is fuel for making fire. The fire is more clinging. And since you make more fire, you have more fuel. have more fuel, the fire burns more. And so there has to be some way of ending the cycle that goes around and around. And that's part of the function of mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness meditation is to see clearly what's going on and to relax in the seeing, in being in the present moment and not giving into, not acting on the clinging, but acting on non-clinging, on seeing. And so the clinging begins to relax and dissipate. So one thing we cling to is the body. The other thing we cling to is a little bit deeper than the body, is the more subjective, is the feelings that we have in our body. And the feelings that the tradition focuses on the most is the pleasant and unpleasant feelings that we have. The ways in which we feel pleasure and pain, comfort and discomfort in the body. And for some people, there's a real strong orientation around somehow wanting pleasure and not wanting pain. And so that's so strong that if there's any kind of clinging around pleasure or kind of a negative clinging around pain, the very clinging adds fuel to the fire. And it's a very important place that people cling, a very important place to learn non-clinging, to learn to be with displeasure, be with what's unpleasant, in a relaxed way, to be with an easeful way, not so that we suffer more, but so we actually suffer less, so we don't add fuel to the fire. So I've had that as well, where I've had something very unpleasant, being experiencing something very unpleasant, sometimes emotionally unpleasant, and I've been so critical, so aversive to it, that I've kind of felt like I have to get away from this. I have to push it away. I have to do something here. And so in the very trying to push it away or ignore it or do something with it, I actually made it stronger and stronger. And I've sometimes, I mean, when I'm a new meditation student in this whole thing, sometimes it was quite ugly, the process. I didn't know how this looping worked. And so I would feel this emotional discomfort. It seemed natural enough to want to go, make it go away. I was desperate to have it go away. I was clinging to make it go away. So I tried hard to make it go away. And sometimes I tried hard in meditation. I thought meditation is the way I'm going to make it go away. But the way I was meditating was filled with clinging, filled with desire and expectation and wanting and fear, and I was caught. And I did that, I'd feel more distress. The more distress I felt, the only thing I knew what to do was to try harder. So I'd cling more. I'd feel worse. So of course, what's the natural thing to do? Cling more. And you know, it was kind of ugly inside here, as this loop went more stronger and stronger. And then at some point, unfortunately for me, or fortunately, I reached rock bottom. And then I just gave up. I said, hopeless, I can't do anything here. And in the giving up, that's when I wasn't putting fuel in the fire anymore. But I just couldn't give up on my own. I had to just kind of like bottom out. So I hope you don't have to do that, but then I learned that in that bottoming out and giving up, I learned about, oh, maybe I don't have to try so hard. I don't have to be clinging and grasping. Maybe I make more space for it. And that's the function of the mindfulness, is to make space to be aware rather than in contrast to adding fuel on the fire. The third area that people cling to, that the Buddha emphasized, is they cling to their perceptions of things, their labels, the ideas they have about what things are. And there's all kinds of labels that people have, ideas, and right and wrong, or good and bad, and this is the way it is, and should be this way. And it's fine to have perceptions, ideas, but we cling to them, we hold on to them. And that's, you know, puts you in this loop. So part of the function of mindfulness is to kind of step away and see that thoughts, ideas, labels, perceptions that we have are just that. They can arise in the mind, they're a thought, and we just let it be. Don't get pulled into it, don't live by it, don't react to it, don't pick it up. The fourth area is usually called, in our circles, it's called mental formations. It's the mental activities of the mind. But more precisely, it's the dispositional side of the mind. It's the motivations we have in the mind. The mind is filled with impulses of what it wants. And that impulse of motivation of wanting something, some people, it's so integral to who they are, they define themselves by what they want. And even if what they want is what they don't want. And that becomes, if you're clinging to that, your desires, your wants, your motivation, and what you're hoping for, what you're expecting, then you enter this loop, this cycle of clinging is fuel for further clinging. So we have to be very, very careful and attentive to what we want, what our expectations are, what our desires are, what our hopes are, what's motivating us. And so part of this function of mindfulness is to be very, is to really bring a lot of care and attention to what we want. And be very careful that it's just because we want it that we don't justify it. Or more profoundly, just because we want it, we feel justified in clinging or grasping or striving to have it. And so instead of that, we try to be mindful of it. And if we can step back and just see an impulse, see a desire arise and not give in to it, then by clinging to it, then we can be much wiser about how we engage in the desire. If it's a desire that's appropriate to pursue, good motivation, then we can try to approach it in a way that does not involve clinging. And one way that doesn't involve clinging is the idea of setting the intention in that direction. This is what I want. I'm pointing in that direction. And then rather than being the one who makes it happen, have a little bit more the idea that you're the one who allows it to happen. So even if it's something like that only you can do, I think a great example, at least for me, has been falling asleep. I've been falling asleep now for 62 years. It's pretty much been a daily thing, so you can do the math to figure out, and you add in their naps. So, I've been doing this for a long time. So I've gotten to be 62 years old, so I've been successful enough with the sleep thing. And I think all of you here are old enough that you're successful enough. Anyway, so what I've learned is I don't know how to put myself to sleep. I've tried so many times, and actually sometimes when I've got insomnia at night, I'm like, I really want to go to sleep. I try to put my... And I've learned that it's counterproductive. It's like the fuel fire loop that goes on. The best thing I can do is not try. And then just kind of let my mind wander or meditate or kind of just lay there quietly and contentedly. And then, so I allow myself to fall asleep, but I don't try so much. And there are things where you have to do with tremendous energy and effort. Like running, if you like to run, it takes a lot of effort and energy, but at some point as you get into it, it's better to allow your body to run when you click into it than it is to keep being the one who's like, I'm going to push more. You kind of allow, at some point you allow the whole system to work, and some people talk about running, there's this effortless effort that kicks in at some point. So, and then the fifth area of clinging, that then these five areas that are the primary areas, that is a consciousness or awareness itself. There's something about the nature of being conscious or being aware that for some people it feels so special and it feels so profound or deep or intimate part of who we are. It's like some people, it's the most intimate, special part of who we are. That's what it is. Everything else that's, you know, we're aware of, that's just arising and passing. That's just phenomena in the world. But to be aware, that's the thing. And that's a particular area that people who practice meditation and mindfulness are prone to get attached to at some point, because we're actually developing our capacity to be aware, but there can be clinging to that. And so and to really go become free, to really cool down the fires of greed, hate, and delusion, we want to also be very careful we don't cling to awareness itself, to consciousness. And then liberation in Buddhism, in early Buddhism, is called liberation based on non-clinging. Non-clinging liberation. And the word for clinging here is the word for fuel. So it's liberation that no longer has any fuel for the continued cycle, that loop that goes on. So the shorthand for all of this, because that's all complicated to go through lists and all this, so the shorthand of it is practice non-reactive awareness. No matter what happens, settle back into an awareness which is not for or against the experience, that's not reactive to it. The awareness that can just hold it openly. And that maybe allows your wisdom to operate, to know if practically you have to be for or against something. But your heart, your awareness, is never against it. Non-reactive awareness. And that cuts the cycles and allows for the cooling that feels so good. So, thank you. I suppose that wasn't a particularly appropriate talk for the solstice.